Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Our mission is to make analytics practical. This is not about abstract theory, but to share true stories of how using analytics helps real-life businesses with real-life constraints make the best possible decisions to compete, grow, and thrive. I'm your host, A.G. Tan. Before we get into the topic we promised, which was master data management, I'm going to take you on a bit of a tangent and talk briefly about guilds. Have you ever heard of guilds? Traditionally, they are associations of artisans and tradesmen who oversee the practice of their craft. A young person starts out as an apprentice, works their way up to being a journeyman, which in the old days in Europe literally meant traveling on a journey across the continent for years, studying with different masters to hone their craft, until finally they have achieved mastery themselves. If you engaged with someone in a guild, working under the guidance of a master, you would have confidence that you would end up with a high quality result. Recently, the idea has been picked up by technology companies as a way to bring people together across their normal work groups and functions to study and explore topics of mutual interest. Qubit came across this idea almost 2 years ago, just as we were trying to think of ways to support our team members' desires to learn and grow, both personally and professionally. Of course, plenty of learning happens when working with our clients, but in the heat of a project, there's not always time to really dig deep. The guild structure presented itself as a way to achieve several desirable outcomes. First, it provides a focused, company-supported forum for people to learn and grow their expertise. Second, assuming we select the guild topics well, the learnings from the guild activities will deepen our expertise and help us do an even better job for our clients. Third, and perhaps most importantly, the guilds can be a place for building community. It brings together consultants, members of the sales team, the development team, the management team. With the COVID-19 pandemic, our consultants don't get to meet each other face-to-face at client sites. So fostering a sense of community has become even more important and urgent. At Qubit, the guilds operate on a 6-month rotation. Prior to each rotation, people are offered a menu of 4 to 6 guilds to apply for. They are also offered an opportunity to volunteer to be a guild leader. My guest today is Claire Hutton, who is a master consultant at Qubit and who led one of our guilds earlier this year on the topic of master data management. Hi, Claire.
Hi, AG. Happy to be here.
So let's get started with this, Claire. I know that master data management, which some people call MDM, is one of those things that has a lot of different definitions and different ways of understanding it, and it can be poorly understood. So maybe you can help us wrap our brains around it. Why does or should MDM matter to Qubit's clients?
So MDM is essentially the practice of making sure your master data is accurate and consistent. And master data also has a lot of different definitions, but some people call it metadata. Some examples would be like suppliers, like so your list of suppliers, your list of customers, your list of products. So that's kind of what we consider master data. So master data management is just making sure that that's accurate and consistent. And I think all clients should really care about this, because if they're not accurate and consistent, then you're going to make poor decisions off of your data. And taking care of your data will take more time. It'll cost more money when you come up with problems. And it's really a headache to maintain and try to like piecemeal together every single month when it turns out that you have 6 different products that really are all the same product, but you weren't managing it correctly.
So how can that come about? Would an example be if you have perhaps different systems being used by different parts of your company, and those different parts of your company are doing business with say the same suppliers, since you use suppliers as an example, but they use different codes for those suppliers, or they spell the suppliers' names differently. And then when you want to pull together all that data from different parts of the business to get a holistic view, then all of a sudden you have this piecemeal approach problem that you were describing. Is that an example of?
That's a great example. So a lot of the times there are different systems, or people have the ability to type in their suppliers freehand, and then you end up with 6 different FedExes or 80 different FedExes, when in reality there's only Freight, Ground, and Express or something like that.
Right, right. And so with master data management, it's basically coming up with processes to manage this right at the inception, right at the beginning, so that everything gets much easier downstream and your data is in much better shape.
Exactly.
Great. So where do we find most companies are at when it comes to their MDM practices when we go in? Is there a wide range?
So there's definitely a very wide range, and it's important to know that no one has it perfect. No one has the ideal management of their data where everything is entered perfectly the first time. We're all human. Everything happens incorrectly sometimes. The important thing is having a process around your master data so that when there are mistakes, someone catches them earlier in the process and not the day of year-end close, for example. And most clients have at least a person or a group that is in charge of their master data, or at least has an idea of what they think their master data should look like. But there's a bunch of things that can go wrong. We've had clients, for example, a banking client, where they have loans for different customers. And it turns out that one, similar to what we were saying earlier, one loan was originated in a certain system, but then the payments are done through a different system, and it's the exact same customer and the exact same collateral on the loan, but they have 2 different customer IDs, and therefore it's in the system twice, and they're completely miscalculating that loan. Similarly, we have clients where maybe they're looking at their top 10 customers, and it turns out that those top 10 customers aren't including their actual top 10 customers, because maybe Walmart is one of their top customers, but they have a different customer ID for every single Walmart that they've sold to. So that's another situation that a lot of people end up in.
As you're talking through those examples, it makes me think about some of the projects that I've been on that were financial consolidation projects. And often when you're thinking about financial consolidation, you're thinking about, the Office of Finance, the controller, corporate finance in general, and not necessarily about technology and master data. But the example that's coming to mind is really this notion of having a global chart of accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes companies have grown by acquisition, for example, and they may be using lots and lots of different accounting systems across the world. And even, what they would call their revenue account or their cash account or their asset, their total assets account or whatever it is, in each of these systems, it's a different account code. Maybe it's broken out differently. Maybe they have, different ways of organizing their chart of accounts. But when you want to do a financial consolidation, which, in its simplest form is really just adding everything up so that for example, how much you sold and how much you spent, right? Which sounds really simple. It's very important to map all of these different accounting systems from, with all of these different codes into a central standardized code base, which is what we call the global chart of accounts. And I guess I'm rambling a little bit here, but I hadn't really thought about that process of mapping to a global chart of accounts, which I've been part of many times, as really being a master data process.
Yeah, it is a master data process when you have multiple chart of accounts. And I think a lot of people get intimidated by the idea of master data management. But if you are doing any mappings, you're basically doing master data management. If there's someone at your company that tells you that this account goes to this account because they're basically the same thing, then that's essentially master data management.
Yeah, exactly. And in that case, and maybe that was actually a good example because it's something that certainly finance people can relate to because usually they own it, right? So you had talked about it being important to have an owner and a process. And in these finance organizations that are going through this process, they're doing it, right? So that's mm-hmm. hopefully a relatable example for people. This is clearly very important in all the different use cases, whether it's matching up customers or whether it's matching up accounts or something else, or products, certainly, if you want to do consolidated product reporting. But you know, as you've implied, nobody does this right. Many of our clients struggle to get a handle on it. Maybe, you know, I think people do understand that they need it, but the task is just so overwhelming, perhaps because of a lack of resources or coordinating across siloed functions or whatever. What advice can we give them? I mean, should they go out and buy some technology or is it more than that?
So I think the important thing is that technology isn't really the answer to this problem most of the time. Frequently, the problem has more to do with the process around things than a lack of technology. You can have the most amazingly built out data mart and still have poor MDM. I think the best advice we can say is start off with something small. So maybe you have one or two key domains, whether that's your chart of accounts. Hopefully you're already doing that, but if not, get your chart of accounts under control and maybe it's your customers. So if you can focus on those two and kind of figure out how to assign ownership of those to ideally someone in the business and someone in IT at the same time, so that they can work together. Perhaps the business identifies when problems occur and then the IT team can take care of fixing those problems. I think that's the best place to start.
And it doesn't need to be the same people, right? It, like whoever's looking after accounts doesn't have to be the same person who's looking after customers or products.
Exactly.
It should be, I'm guessing it should be tied to whatever they do in the business so that they actually know about the domain.
Exactly. So if you wouldn't have your finance guys necessarily in charge of your customer list, and you probably wouldn't put your sales guys in charge of your chart of accounts. It doesn't make sense. So there's usually someone at the company who knows when something's wrong. So whoever it is that knows when your customer list is wrong is probably the person who should be in charge of your customer list. Because even now, if you don't have any master data management, someone's realizing that what you have right now isn't quite right. And that's probably the person that needs to be in charge of that.
No, that makes sense. And I also like what you said about the, you know, the business and IT partnership, right? Because the business person, and this is perhaps where technology might be able to support the process, though, as you said, it shouldn't drive it, right? Mm-hmm. That the IT person might be the one that goes into all the systems and makes sure that everything is correct once a problem is solved. Or there might be a technology that then is updating all the systems, right? That the IT person then interacts with.
Yeah, exactly. Technology isn't the solution, but it's certainly a tool that can be used. But frequently the problem isn't the technology side. If you were old school keeping all of your metadata in Excel still and everything was sourced from that Excel list of customers, theoretically that could be decent master data management if that Excel is well controlled and you have to go through a process of approvals to get something new added to your list of accounts, or if there's some way of updating it on a regular basis, then that's just as good as a great data mart.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. So that was a great conversation about master data management. Thank you, Claire. You explained things so well and so clearly, and I love all the examples, and I hope our listeners will get some practical use out of the way things were described. But now I'm going to switch gears, and I'd like to close out by hearing about the Qubit Guild experience that you went through. As I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, Qubit has this guild structure that enables Qubit team members to work together and go deep on different interesting topics. And so I'd like to hear from you what you and what the other guild members you worked with got out of that experience of exploring, in this case, master data management, but just the guild experience itself.
So I think the biggest thing I got out of it was that I got to work with a lot of people that I don't normally work with or that I haven't worked with since I started at Qubit. So I think that was the most interesting part. Another fun part is hearing from people that don't necessarily talk a lot. I sometimes include myself in that category. But I think the guild environment gave us a lot of opportunity for collaboration and to talk about our experiences with different clients. And it turns out that we all have very similar experiences, particularly around master data management. So usually someone would bring up something that they had experienced at a client, and suddenly we're all yelling around in agreement and saying that this is a problem that we should address. So I think a lot of camaraderie comes from that. And then we also, obviously, learning about master data management. Master data management isn't what Qubit does, and I don't think we can certainly help people, but that's not what we do. It's more adjacent to what we do. So learning more about it and how to address it has been really interesting.
Yeah, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why we came up with this guild topic in the first place, is because we wanted to explore that. So for example, I had spoken earlier about the example of a financial consolidation and, you know, a global chart of accounts being an example of master data management. And that's a place that's an example where it definitely is adjacent, right? And helping our clients figure out how to do that at some level was definitely part of the scope of the project. And it made sense for us to engage at that level. But when you're saying that it's not what we do as a whole, it's more like we would not market ourselves to our customers as a master data management specialist and embark on a project to take care of all their master data management needs across the company, right? We would do it tactically insofar as it serves the project that we're working on.
Exactly.
Yeah, and if that helps contribute to a bigger framework, then that's great, right?
Yeah, exactly. We're basically willing to do whatever we need to do to make our project work. But being able to talk to master data management hopefully will help clients understand the extra work that comes with some projects that don't come with all projects, which is if we have to set up some framework for master data management, then that's a little bit more work than we intended. But usually it's fine. And a lot of the times, even if they don't have master data management, they have accurate data. And sometimes just having accurate data is all we need. So there's a lot of different ways projects can go.
Yeah, that there absolutely is. And it's really a process, right, of moving towards perfection, hoping you'll get closer each time. But definitely, you know, hoping that with every step, you know, you're getting more and more value and being able to get better data, more trustworthy data, more accurate data, and spend less time doing the boring stuff.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Claire. I've really enjoyed this conversation.
Thanks, AG.
Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Do stay in touch. You can email us at info@qubit.com or check out past episodes and transcripts at qubit.com/podcast. Until next time, take care.